أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased, has bought from the believers their lives and their wealth for the price that theirs shall be Jannah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth in exchange for Jannah. Allah did not say that Allah has purchased half the life of the believers or a portion of the life of the believers. Allah did not say that He has purchased the wealth of the believers equal to zakat. He did not say He has purchased the wealth of the believers equal to 10% of their wealth or equal to 90% of their wealth. Allah said, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth. How much life? The whole life. How much wealth? All the wealth. In exchange for Jannah. Now, two important things to understand in this. Number one, Allah is not saying Allah would like to purchase. This is an offer. Allah would like to purchase. Would you like to sell? Allah is not saying that. Allah is saying this deal is over, done. Allah has purchased from the believers their wealth and their lives in exchange for Jannah. So this is a deal which is done. So now when a deal is done, then supposing I am buying a car from Hafiz Bhai and we agree on a price. And Hafiz Bhai says, the price of my car is so much. Deal is done, signed, sealed. What remains to be, what remains now? For me to hand over the price. That's it. The car is mine. There is no argument after that. No? I mean, after the deal is done, he is an honorable man. He will not go back on his word. And who is more honorable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu himself? So he is not going to go back on his word. So here the deal is done. Matter is over. Khalas, no more discussion. Hand over the price and take it. It's yours. It belongs to you. Once the deal is done, the car is no longer mine if you pay the price. If I don't pay the price and then I say I want your car, then where is the car? Where is the deal? There's no deal. The deal means that there are two sides to the matter. One which you will give and one you will get in exchange. So the first thing to understand here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a done deal. Matter is over, resolved, khalas, finished. No more discussion. You want Jannah, it is yours. You don't have to ask anybody for it. It belongs to you. Because the deal is over. What must you do? Pay for it. What is the payment for it? All my life and all my wealth. First thing. Second thing is, for those who might now suddenly have a doubt and say, well, you know, all my life and all my wealth, then the reminder for them is to say that all your life and all your wealth belongs to Allah anyway. All our life and all our wealth belongs to Allah anyway. Number one. Number two, all our life and all our wealth is temporary. It is for that specific period of our life. Whatever lifespan Allah has given us, life is only that much. And wealth is actually even less, because people's wealth does not last with them always till the last day of their lives. Sometimes it disappears before that. So the temporary life and temporary wealth which Allah has given us, which belongs to Him anyway, Allah is saying, dedicate that to me and I will give you that which has no ending. Jannah, which is forever. So, this is like, for example, Hafiz bhai telling me that, you know, here is my car, you pay me so much for it, but don't, you don't have to use your money, I will give you the money. This looks like a completely crazy thing. Huh? I will give you the money, just return the same money to me and take the car. And not only take the car now, till the day you die, anytime you need a car, I will give you a car, free. Not only one car, forever. So, I now bought this car with his money, and not only did I buy one car, but I bought cars for till the end of my life. Now, if somebody in this world, that kind of a deal, you would say this is absolutely nuts. I mean, no one does that. But I'm saying if that deal was reality, and if I say, no, I don't want it, what will you tell me? You're crazy. You're totally nuts because, you know, here is, what is the deal? I mean, it's not even yours. The point is, here is somebody. The thing belongs to him anyway. He can take it away for free. It belongs to him. He doesn't have to give anything in compensation. He does not have to give anything in return. He doesn't have to buy anything. He can take it away because it is his. And we can't say anything. Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi rajiun. Khalas, gone. But instead of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, it is mine, but, you know, give it to me and I will give you temporary that stuff, even if you did not give it to me, even if it stayed with you, it is only going to stay for that particular period. Only that much. The ayat of Surah Az-Zukhruf, which I think last Jummah or the Jummah before that or something, which I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if it wasn't for the fact that the believers would probably all run away and fall into disbelief, Allah would have given the disbelievers, Allah would have given those who defy Him, Allah would have given those who deny Him, staircases of gold and silver, elevators of silver, roofs of their houses of silver, doors of silver and gold, thrones of silver and gold for them to sit on. Can you imagine? He's not talking about, we're not here talking about, you know, how many grams of gold and how many tola. We're talking about entire houses of gold, roofs of gold and so on. Allah said, I would have given the disbelievers all of this if it wasn't for the fact that seeing that the believers might have fallen into disbelief and run away. And Allah says, even after all that, it would be only for a short period. With all that gold and silver and whatnot, is not going to remain forever. I went to Egypt to see the pyramids. I didn't go to see the pyramids. I went to Egypt, so I went to see the pyramids. So as I'm looking at the great pyramid in Giza, I'm thinking to myself that this is a tomb. Right? This is a tomb. Tomb of a king. Now imagine if the tomb of a king is like this, what must his palace have been like? This is a tomb. After he dies, he goes into that. What must his palace have been like? Where is it? Where did all that gold and silver and God knows what, you know, brocade and silk and all the jaho jalal and all the marble and God knows. Where is it? Where did it go? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the reality. The reality is that this life and wealth you have, first of all, it doesn't belong to you. Secondly, even if you think it belongs to you, it won't stay with you forever. It's going to go away. But if you dedicate that to me, then I will give you something which will actually belong to you and which I will not take away. Which will be yours forever. Make it as you want, keep it as you want, change it as you want, do what you want. It is yours and it will not change. Now this is the basic principle that we need to understand. Because today we have reduced the learning of Islam to a weekend entertainment competing for time with Netflix or with some computer game or with your football game or whatever else you watch on TV. That is how we have demeaned the seeking of knowledge of Islam. Just think about that. How shameful is that? And the pressure on the, you know, so-called ulama from the population is to say, keep it short, keep it short. and they fall into that trap. People tell you, no, don't keep it more than 10 minutes, then don't keep it more than 5 minutes. Then somebody told me, don't keep it more than 1 minute. Mm. 1 minute? So I said, why keep it at all? If all you have is 1 minute, then keep your 1 minute. That 1 minute is precious for you. I don't want it. Keep it. Do with it whatever you want to do with it. Why do they say that? Because they do not realize that the time that they are going to spend in the zikr of Allah, that time Allah is making their zikr, Allah is remembering them on His arsh. It is not my fatwa. This is what the hadith of Qudsi which Rasulullah ﷺ told us. This is the Quran which Allah told us. Fadhkuruni azkurku. You make my zikr, I do your zikr. We ignore this. Because if you think about that, then you would say, let me do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make my zikr 24 hours. Somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning on his arsh, is he going to burn in Jahannam? No, inshallah, Mustan, he is free, alhamdulillah. Then will you say, reduce the amount of time of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reduce the recitation in the Quran? People make this, the imam is reciting thing, kya lamba khich rahe wali sahab? Why are you reciting so long? Hare, he is reciting the Quran. You have no shame to say, reduce the length of the recitation. I can understand the imam must try to be, considerate of the people behind him, and there may be old people and this and that and so forth. All that is fine, and the imam must do that. But I'm just saying that most of the time we find there are no old people, they're all young people. And if you are that old, sit in a chair, no. What's the problem? But here it's not because of old. Here, I don't want to listen to so much Quran. The reality is that it's not that I'm getting tired and this and that. Because the same people, the same so-called old people and the same so-called weak people and whatnot, they will go and watch a 3-hour film without any problem. They don't tell them, why don't you give me this film in 1 minute? Have you ever heard this thing? Show me the film in 1 minute. Longer the better. But as far as deen is concerned, reduce it. The bigger problem is that the so-called ulama have fallen into this trap and they are pandering to this nonsense of the audience. So you keep on reducing. You've got an audience which has the attention span, the span of monkeys and goldfish, and you want to reduce deen to these bite-sized things and demean the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to these bite-sized things, because otherwise people will go away. Let them go away. What's your problem? Let them go away. But why we don't want to let them go away is because many of the so-called ulama today have turned Islam into a money-making business. So therefore, I need to attract this audience, not because I am interested in their akhirah or they are interested in their own akhirah, but because I am interested in their money. If I don't make this my presentation of deen palatable to these people with the attention spans of monkeys and goldfish, they will not pay me money to come to my courses. Then I can't pay for my SUVs and my gadgets. So I must reduce this deen to, I must pander to these demands of people who have no problem watching a football match for a couple of hours, who have no problem watching Super Bowl for God knows how many days, who have no problem watching one day internationals, whole day, who've got no problem watching Netflix movies, but they've got a problem listening to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I pander to that because I need their money. This is the biggest problem with this monetization of Islam which has happened and which has turned Islam into a business. Somebody floats a website and a portal which is Learn Islam Essentials by paying for it. Islam Essentials is you should pay for it. So that means somebody who does not want to pay or cannot pay is denied the knowledge of the essentials of Islam. Is this what the Anbiya came to teach us? This we recited Surah Al-Yasin in Salatul Fajr. Is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about the Anbiya in Surah Al-Yasin? That these people have come, pay them money so that they will teach you your religion? Absolutely disgustingly shameful.
And who is doing that? The so-called ulama. Pandering to this nonsense from their audience. Instead of guiding them, that was the job of the ulama, was to guide. Was to stand up and say, sorry, excuse me, you are wrong. This is how Islam is taught. Islam is a practice. It is not a matter of life and death. It's a matter of everlasting life, everlasting happiness, or everlasting punishment. Life and death is simple. It's not a matter of life and death. It's much more than life and death. Nobody will say present medicine in 5 minutes. Nobody will say present engineering in 5 minutes. Nobody will say teach me to drive in 5 minutes. Because I know if I don't spend enough time learning to drive a car properly, I'm going to kill myself and kill people. So I need to spend that time to learn to drive a car properly. But I don't need to spend that time to learn Islam in order to enter Jannah. This is what we have reduced Islam to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all your time, all your wealth in exchange for Jannah. But we want to make it into 5 minutes of my time in exchange for your Jannah. That is the value for Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jannah is not simple. Jannah is not easy. Jannah is not cheap. Do you think you will simply get Jannah by asking for it? You will be tested. The earth will shake under your feet. You will be tested to that extent. And then the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Nabi of the time and the people with him, they said, Mata Nasrullah, where is the help of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nasarallahi qareeb. Inshallah, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. But he's saying that to whom? Not to people who are asking for 5 minutes of one minute bite-sized Islamic information. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to people who have gone the full way, who have paid their dues. Even for them, Allah is saying, Nasarallahi qareeb, the Nasar of Allah, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nearby. Hasn't come yet. Still some more time to go. I remind myself and you, let us learn to treat this deen seriously, because this deen is a serious matter. It's not entertainment. It is not something that must compete for your time and attention with Netflix and with the Super Bowl or with the One Day Internationals or whatever else you spend your time in. It is something which gives you the honor of being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu on his arsh. Now, if that is not important for you, then as far as I am concerned, I am bari uminkum. I am free of you. Whoever doesn't want to listen, goodbye. No problem. It's not my responsibility. It's not the responsibility of any alim or any nabi to take the deen and shove it down somebody's throat. No. Huma alayna illa al-balaghul mubin. Khalas. The job is to present it in the best possible manner, and that's it. Period. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to enable us to give us the seriousness to understand this deen and to spend the time and energy required to learn the only thing which guarantees success fi dunya wal akhirah. In this dunya wal akhirah. If there is any other thing which guarantees you success in dunya wal akhirah other than Islam, please go and follow it. No problem. As far as I am concerned, there is nothing in the world which guarantees success fi dunya wal akhirah, in this dunya and the akhirah, other than Islam. There is nothing other than Islam which guarantees that. And if that is not valuable enough for us to spend our time and energy in, then I have nothing more to say in the matter. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and our nufus and all the fasabis of shaitan. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.